Welcome to Peace, Health, and Joy with Diana Wallace, a designated space in your life to receive encouragement, equipping, empowerment, and hopefully even entertainment. You guessed it, with that alliterative intro for ease, I'm a former pastor's wife and homeschool mom. But also, I've been a holistic wellness coach specializing in mysterious, hopeless situations by actively partnering with the Holy Spirit in my work since 2006. If you're looking for a unique approach to integrating wellness of spirit, soul, and body from a Christian perspective, you are in the right place. My southern accent shares my Arkansas roots, but these days my home is in Alaska. I'm tickled pink for you to join me today. Let's get started. Welcome back to Peace, Health, and Joy with Diana Wallace. And it's me, Diana Wallace. Today, we are going to talk about what happens when the person you need to forgive most is you. For me, this started with a simple question that I heard while I was watching a training on a DVD. So this is like, so 2010, right? But I was watching this training, and the guy who was leading the training asked this question, and it was, next to Jesus, are you your own best friend? All right, what I'm getting ready to share next is a little dramatic. I'm just saying, this is how it happened for me. When I heard that question, it hit a tripwire inside of me. And I just felt this deep conviction, and I knew that I knew, no, I was not my own best friend next to Jesus. In fact, you could easily say I was my worst enemy. Does that resonate with you? If it does, then today's content is just going to ring your bells, because that's what we're talking about. If it feels like you are trapped in your body with your mind that is frequently, if not constantly, against you, you are just in the right place. And I'm honored and tickled pink to get to spend this time with you. So how does it happen? How does it happen? We don't just one day wake up and suddenly we're on our case. There are lots of different things that can contribute to our having issues with our relationship with ourselves. Maybe it had roots when we were young and we didn't necessarily hear the message from those who were, you know, we were in their care, but maybe we took on the message early in life, you know, you need to do better, strive to do better. You can always do better. The other side of you can always do better is you're not enough. You'll never be enough. No matter how hard you try, it's not enough. Even though you got straight A's on your report card, it is not good enough. You are not good enough. And it just happens. I think it has something to do with birth order. And it's not 100% like proven, but I am a firstborn from early in life. I did hear messages, you need to set a good example. You need to set a good example for your sisters. You need to set a good example in school. You need to set a good example here and there. And I'm all for that. But I'm also human. And I feel like it's really important to create space in your home, with your children, in our lives for mistakes. We need to have a little margin for error, right? Because when we don't have a margin of error, an allowance space for mistakes that are going to happen, then the next thing you know, we get all up in our head and we think we should be more, we should do more. And then we finally reach a point where it's like, I actually cannot do anymore. I cannot be anymore. I've done everything I can. And then we start getting on our own case. Why can't you do it? Well, that's stupid. Why did you do that thing? What were you thinking? And we get stuck in this cycle, and we are literally stuck in our body with our own mind, who is constantly condemning us. And I got to tell you straight up, I don't think all that condemning just comes from us. I believe it comes from the enemy, Satan, the devil, a liar, who we read in John 10:10, he really only has three jobs. He only seeks to kill us, to steal from us, or to destroy us. Here's the cool thing. A lot of times we talk about that verse and we talk about how he's just constantly planting thoughts in our minds and encouraging us to come against ourselves. But the second part of that verse reads that Jesus came that we may have life, that we may have it more abundantly. So yeah, the enemy is on assignment to pester you, to torment you, to condemn you. He's relentless. He is persistent. He is also defeated. He is not creative. God, Father God, has a creative nature. You are made in his image. You are creative. Our enemy is not creative. He is persistent, but he is not creative. That actually is a good thing. It's a very good thing, because we are creative. We can change things. Because we are creative, we can change things. We can change how we do things. We can change our patterns of behavior. We can go from being on our case all the time to choosing to become friends with ourselves. And a big part of that starts when we make a decision in our mind to forgive ourselves. To forgive ourselves. Oh my goodness. So for 17 years, I practiced as a naturopathic doctor in, just practiced as a naturopathic doctor. And my clients knew that I really came at this from a very uniquely holistic perspective, integrating natural and alternative and complementary remedies, integrating those with my Christian faith, which is kind of like making me a unicorn, right? Because a lot of times we think of natural alternative stuff, like new agey, but no, also I'm biblically solid and I'm committed to staying that way. But I would sit in my office for many years. I had an in-person office. These days, I still serve clients all over the United States, but it's virtual. It's on Zoom. It looks a lot like this right here. And how many times have I sat in an appointment with a client, either in person, on Zoom, by phone, however it was, and I have heard her say to me, "Diana, I have never told anyone this. What do you think comes next? What do you think comes next? I've never told anyone this." And then she might have tears. She might not have tears. This did not happen once, twice, three, five, or 10 times. This has happened countless times. "I've never told anyone this." And a lot of times it has to do with she had an abortion earlier in life. Sometimes she had it by her own decision. Sometimes she had it by the decision of either her parents or her the father of her child. And she has never, ever spoken of it since that time. For some of these women, the first time they said that out loud to me was the first time they ever gave words to that experience. And for some of them, that experience has been tormentive in their lives. For others, and I don't judge. I know that that is a painful decision, is a painful experience for any woman ever. There are a lot of complicated factors there, and I simply will not judge the woman who has endured that experience. My job is to help her get free from the condemnation that the enemy is assigned to continuously drop into her mind. Maybe you're listening to this and you're thinking, well, I haven't had an abortion, so maybe I don't need the rest of this this episode. Well, stay with me for just a minute. Maybe the thing that you've done or the thing you haven't done wasn't an abortion. Maybe it has to do with an infidelity in your marriage. Maybe it has to do with the way that you mother your children and you try your very best every single day and you fall short, as we all do. And it never stops, okay? We wake up in the morning thinking we're going to parent one way, and then we actually encounter our children, right? And we go, oh my gosh, I blew it again. Stay with me. Whatever it is that you've done, whatever it is that you haven't done, instead of staying in condemnation, instead of staying in a place where it's like, I can't get over this. I cannot get over this hump. This is going to be in me. This is going to torment me forever. That is actually a lie. And I know that I know it for sure. I have had the opportunity. It is just such an honor to have had the opportunity to walk through a gentle process with so many women who are in a place that they are ready to contend for their own freedom. Freedom from the condemnation of the enemy who seeks to kill, steal, and destroy them. Freedom to walk in the abundant life that Jesus has purposed for you. Freedom. And I believe many times, if not always, that freedom begins with forgiving. Now, in episode 2, we talked about forgiving other people. And so I have found over the last 13 years or so of doing this specific kind of work that it is often easier to forgive someone else. But when it comes time to forgive ourselves, I mean, we have got the material on us. We know all the things we've done. We know the things we haven't done. We know our motives. We know our excuses. We know our explanations. And still, there's a grace that is extended to us to forgive ourselves. I want to take a moment and read a verse that I have heard, I have read as a former church planter, former pastor's wife. This is a verse that we heard and spoke and shared often. But one day when I read it a little differently. It literally jumped out at me differently. And it has changed for me forever how I think about this verse and how I think about the importance of forgiving ourselves. So let's read here in Matthew 22, verses 36 through 40. This is the NIV version. And the Pharisees are trying to trick Jesus by asking him a question that's basically impossible. And he said, and they say to him, "Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?" And he said to him, this is Jesus talking, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest and foremost commandment." And then he adds to that and he says, "And a second like it." Or second is like it. "You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend the whole law and the prophets." Jesus says in this passage, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is an assumption there that I think it's super easy to skip right over, especially in our culture, in our American culture. We get really focused on, I'm going to love my neighbor. I'm going to love my neighbor. I love my neighbor. I want to love my neighbor. Help me love my neighbor. As yourself, do you love yourself? Do you love yourself? Do you? Honestly, I didn't. I did not love myself. I'm not saying I didn't love yourself. I'm saying I didn't love myself. Honestly, truly, sadly, for about the first 42 years of my life. 42 years. I did not feel like I loved myself. I was, in fact, my worst enemy. I was, in fact, stuck inside a body with myself, constantly condemning myself, constantly expecting more. My body had tried to fail me 10 years prior because I just was in this cycle of just more, 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 go, go, go. My body literally tried to shut me down in my early 30s. But at the tender age of 42, I was introduced to these principles, many that I'm talking to you about today. And it has to do with how precious and dear we are to our Father God, the one who made us, the one who in Zephaniah 3:17, we read that he sings over us. He sings over us. One of the most powerful tenets of our faith has to do with the power of agreement. What are we going to come into agreement with? Are we going to believe and agree with the truth that God made us, that God loves us, that he is for us? Or are we going to agree with the lies of the enemy who says things to us through our own thoughts, through our own perceptions? You're not enough. You'll never be enough. You can't try hard enough. You'll never be good enough. Never, never, never. What are we going to come into agreement with? It is super powerful, and it is a decision to come into agreement with the truth that God made you just like you are. He knew all the mistakes. He knew all of them. He actually knows them, and he still loves you anyway, and he invites you in to love yourself as well. Is it okay to love yourself? Well, Jesus said in that passage we just read, let's read it again, because that was really important, which is the greatest commandment. And he said, excuse me, I get excited, and here we go. You shall love the Lord, your God, with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest and foremost commandment. And a second, he adds a second commandment, like right there, like here it comes. Love your neighbor as yourself. So I think it's important to love ourselves. And I think it's important, but also I know it's important, because if we try to run around through the rest of our lives on our case, still badgering ourselves, condemning ourselves, scolding ourselves for things that already happened, we cannot change them. We cannot go back in time and change the circumstance. We also cannot change the consequence, but we have an opportunity to make a different choice in this moment, to forgive ourselves, to speak blessing over ourselves, to break agreement with the lies of the enemy, who is only purpose to steal, to kill, and destroy you. And I believe this starts with making a decision, making an agreement with God, the one who made you, knows you, and loves you extravagantly, that you're worthy of love. He loves you. When I read that verse in Zephaniah 3:17, I know I got this from a guy. I used to listen to his music all the time. Still, sometimes I listen to it, but you know, you go through phases and you listen to different things. But he's a really gifted worshiper, and his name's Dennis Jernigan. And my late husband, Tim, and I totally went through a heavy Dennis Jernigan phase. In fact, I remember many times we would say, now, when we get to heaven, we hope we're in his room. We hope we get to be in the room with Dennis Jernigan, worshiping our God forever. And I still would be really okay with that. But I know that I got my perception of Zephaniah 3:17 from a Dennis Jernigan concert, where he shared in his mind's eye, when he reads Zephaniah 3:17, how God sings over us, how he is so delighted in us. Dennis shared that he pictures in his mind's eye God doing like flips in the air over you as he things over you in delight for you. And I see that too. When I hear that verse, I think, oh my gosh, God is just delighted in me in spite of, He's delighted in me anyway. So how in the Sam Hill are you supposed to be able to forgive yourself for all this stuff? And I don't know about you, but I know about me, and I give myself new material every single day to forgive. I don't do it on purpose. In fact, I have found that I don't even have to try. It just happens. It has happened for a long, long time. It will always happen. And the sooner I recognize, hey, I just did this thing and I need to go ahead and forgive me for that, the sooner I recognize it, the sooner I deal with it, the less collateral damage. Because it turns out that hurting people, people who have unaddressed, unresolved hurt in our lives, unknowingly, unintentionally are hurtful to other people. I hate that part. Except also I love that it includes with it the opportunity, if not the invitation, to come in and get some healing, get released, get free from that condemnation that is holding you back. So the best way I know to get started on that is to make a decision to forgive yourself for whatever it is. What do you need to forgive yourself for? I feel like as you're listening to this, a few things are coming to mind right now. It could be anything from a big issue from way back in your earlier life. It could be because you forgot to take the trash out today again, and doggone it, you forgot last week and the trash guy's already come and the trash is stinking and you are kind of on your case about it. Well, go ahead. That is also forgivable. Go ahead and forgive yourself and, you know, move on. Like, it's okay to just drop it, like, you know, figure out what you're going to do with your trash, but it's okay to forgive yourself. It's okay. In fact, I just encourage you to. Now, I want to speak to this for a moment. Much like forgiving other people, there are some caveats here. Just because you decide to forgive yourself for something, it does not erase the consequences of that decision or that action. It also does not make what you did right. It doesn't. Just because you forgive it doesn't mean like, okay, well, I'm condoning what I just did or what I did 40 years ago. And we don't want to forgive because we think, oh, that's like me condoning that. That is actually not the case. When we make a decision to forgive ourselves, it literally is for the purpose of setting ourselves free from the condemnation of constantly being on our case about the situation. But more importantly, it is because we have decided, we have made a decision to come into agreement with the truth of the God who knows us, who loves us, who has purposed good things for us, the one who has good plans for us. We've chosen to come into agreement with him and to forgive ourselves. Why? So we can love our neighbors as ourselves. So we don't have to live in condemnation. So we can breathe. Did you know you literally breathe differently when you are not hanging on to unforgiveness? Did you know that there is a growing body of clinical work showing that there can be a relationship between autoimmune disorders and self-unforgiveness? Isn't that interesting? Kind of makes sense. If you're in an autoimmune situation, it is suggested that your body is attacking itself. And if you are constantly attacking yourself, emotionally, mentally, it kind of seems to make sense that those two could go together. And on that cheerful note, I'm going to go ahead and wrap up this episode. Here's what I want to suggest to you. If this is ringing your bell, if you are just like, holy cow, I needed this episode, I need to listen to it again, then yay, that's awesome. Maybe you want to share it with a friend. Maybe you have a friend who struggled with these kinds of things for a long time. And I would be so honored for you to share this episode with them. The next episode is going to be an activation prayer in which I will walk you through a very specific and strategic prayer to forgive yourself. Between now and when you listen to that episode, I invite you to prayerfully consider, what do you need to forgive yourself for? What is it time to let go of? What is it time to release? You know what I'm talking about. You know what you're hanging on to, this bearing on your shoulders. Literally, you may be feeling it in your body, a weight in your body from hanging on to this. The thing that you did, the thing you didn't do, the thing you wish you did differently, the thing you cannot change. You live with the consequence every day. And still, it's not only okay, it is awesome, possum, lemon blossom when you choose to forgive yourself anyway and ask God to forgive you too. In fact, when we work through the forgiving yourself prayer, the first thing is to repent to God about it. Ask for His forgiveness. Then we choose to forgive ourselves, and then we let the Holy Spirit minister truth to us. So I'm inviting you, if this rings a bell with you, if this is resonating with you, if your heart is maybe even beating faster as you're listening to this, I just invite you to prayerfully consider, what are you ready? What are you ready to forgive yourself for? And by ready, I don't mean you feel like you want to. I mean, what are you ready to make a decision to let go of so it doesn't affect you anymore? So you can go on through the rest of your life with literally, and I don't just say this because these are my brand words. I'm saying it because I live it, I walk in it, and I want to impart it to you. I want to share it with you for you to be able to walk in more peace, in more health, in more joy, even crazy joy from this day forward. So I just speak blessing, favor all over you. I'd like to take a minute and actually pray over you before I turn you loose. And then next episode, which will be in a whole week from now, we will walk through an activation prayer together. The purpose of this is something that you can come back to time and again, and I will walk through it with you as many times as you care to play it until you feel like the work has been accomplished in your life. I'm here for it. Let me pray over you and I'll turn you loose. Father God, I bless you for this day. I thank you for the gift. My gosh, for your gift of forgiveness. Your gift of forgiveness on the cross. How you modeled forgiveness through your own and only Son, Jesus, who literally died to forgive our sins. I thank you, God, for that rich, abundant, and eternal gift. And I am asking you, Lord, to stir up in the hearts and the minds of everyone who's listening to this right now, whenever right now is for them. Be gentle, but illuminate those things that they're ready to bring to you for once and for all. I thank you, God, that we can bring them to you, that you are in a good mood, that you are ready to take this from us, that you are ready for us to experience release, freedom, deliverance, so that we can walk in more peace, peace with ourselves, peace with others, more health, more joy. Joy comes from you. Thank you, Lord, for your unveiling faithfulness. I do speak blessing, favor, truth, and love, and peace all over this one who is listening right now. In Jesus' name, amen. I hope that this has encouraged your spirit. I just declare against any spirit of condemnation that might be trying to mess with you right now. No, shut up condemnation, gather up all your stuff and head on back to hell with it, because this is a place of peace. This is a place for healing. I'm here for it. You're here for it. Let's go. Have a wonderful week. I will see you next week.
This has been Peace, Health, and Joy with Diana Wallace. Thanks for spending some time with me today. If this episode was encouraging to you, will you please do a couple things? One, leave me a review so other people can find this podcast. And two, subscribe so you never miss an episode. Until we meet again, I'm praying your week ahead is stuffed full with peace, health, and joy.